Chavez.
And I am your other host, Victoria Male. And today we are joined by Jason Inman.
Yes, I am not a fangirl. I'm a fanboy.
But we're so excited to have you here regardless. If you ask us, Jason Inman is one of the best people to speak geek with and a treasure trove of nerd knowledge. You may have checked out his insights on DC All Access, Movie Trivia Schmodown, or on his popular YouTube channel, Jawin, which has over 72,000 subscribers. Kristen and I know and love him from the podcast Geek History Lesson, which is our go-to source for learning about our favorite characters in fandom and discovering new ones. We had the tremendous pleasure of interviewing his GHL co-host, Ashley Victoria Robinson, on episode 14 about the Ladies of Marvel and their super cool comic, Jupiter Jet. So we're thrilled to have Jason on to discuss DC Comics, being an ally in the geek space, and their latest original graphic novel, Science.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm overwhelmed by the number of topics we have to talk about now.
No, it's going to be all good. You're an expert, man. You got this.
And we'll start out easy, because for fans who aren't familiar with Geek History Lesson, you usually delve into first about a character's origin story. So, Jason, what is your origin story?
Oh, that's a very long answer. Is this podcast 3 hours?
It's not. So maybe the Spark Notes version.
My origin story is I grew up on a Kansas farm. And for me, comic books and like science fiction novels were the only way that I could imagine that there was an outside world. So I really got into that because Kansas farming is boring. After some time in the military, I eventually moved to Los Angeles. And I've been here since 2010. And luckily, I've worked for a bunch of cool people like Rhett and Link and Scream Junkies. I did a gig for the Muppets and DC Comics, and now I work for CBS, so it's kind of all over the place.
That's so cool. So what are some of the fandoms that you're a part of, and how did you fall in love with these properties?
Star Trek's the first one. Mm-hmm. Star Trek's the first property that I fell in love with. It's because I can remember when they started, this will show how old I am, in 1987, mm-hmm. when they said that Star Trek was coming back to TV. It was a big news event. I remember seeing it on the local news when I was a kid. And my mom and dad, who are not science fiction fans at all, were going to watch it because it was an event that Star Trek was coming back to TV. And I remember watching Encounter at Farpoint at 6:30 on a Saturday on 1987. Don't remember the date. Somewhere in September. And just falling in love. And ever since then, I watched every single Star Trek show live to air. Like, I watched every episode, with the small exceptions of a couple of times when I was deployed, but at least for TNG, I watched every single one of them. So that's the one that I love.
Wow.
It's TNG. Like, TNG made me want to be an astronaut when I was a little kid. It made me want, it's probably a little responsible for why I even consider the military, because I was like, oh yeah, Star Trek. And the other one that I really love is Doctor Who. Doctor Who and comic books are my other two loves.
And that must be such a treat for you, kind of seeing all the different ways Star Trek has kind of come back, even though to me, I don't know if it ever really went away, but you know, you recently had the news with Picard coming back and stuff like that. So I think it's kind of interesting that you get to see these flow on.
Every franchise sort of has those little flows, especially Doctor Who, if you look at that. But yeah, Star Trek's gone away twice now. Like, if you think about it, it's kind of gone away and come back. So to me, it proves that it'll never die.
Very true. Yeah.
So how did you go from being just a fan to being an expert? And how do you interact with fandom?
I don't know if I would ever call myself an expert, because there's always that person out there that's read more than you and seen more than you. I think I just started calling myself that. So if you want to be an expert, just call yourself an expert, and people will be like, yeah, they're an expert. Sure. I don't think there is any line. I've certainly read a lot, and weirdly, my memory works better for nerd stuff than it does for real life stuff.
That's so strange. Me as well.
It's weird how that happens.
I can like name you Star Trek episodes and Doctor Who episodes, but you ask me like what happened 2 years ago on a certain date, and I'll be like, I don't know. So it's that type of thing. I think just call yourself an expert. It's the same thing like I tell everybody. I see a lot of people online where they'll be like, I'm an aspiring filmmaker. I'm an aspiring writer. No, you're not. You're a filmmaker. You're a writer. Stop saying you're aspiring. If you say you're one of those and you act like it, people will believe you.
That's awesome. What are some of the main ways that you interact with fandom, or nowadays?
I mean, a lot of it's over Twitter. Mm-hmm. I really like Twitter. I think I've finally gotten rid of most of the angry, very repulsive fans, I think, finally. A lot of the people that I find, the podcast fans for Geek History Lesson, I find are lovely. I think because when we started Geek History Lesson, one of our tenets was I really wanted the podcast to teach you something. I didn't want people to walk away from the episode and be like, I didn't learn anything. So I always made sure that every episode episode we did, even Ashley's episodes, one of us would learn something that we didn't know. If we found that the episode wouldn't provide that, then we wouldn't do the episode. So I think because people come to our podcast to learn, I think we've created a fan base that is very positive. You know, and we always say in the podcast several times, it's like, hey, if you don't like that, if you like that story that we don't like, that's fine. You don't like it. So mainly online, you know, again, I hope I've taught the audience that likes me to be very positive and that nothing's wrong and nothing's right and everything is an opinion. But so every once in a while, you'll get the crazy in there that doesn't like that.
I love on your podcast the "Don't at me" and the "Don't at me" T-shirt. When you like, it's like now just like with the nature of fandom, sometimes you're like, and this is my favorite thing, but don't at me. Like I get it. Like I get it that not everyone, it's not everyone's
favorite.
People
still do. I automatically mute them.
Smart.
I automatically mute them. I'm just like, I'm done with you. You didn't learn? Okay, cool, good.
Speaking of that, gatekeeping, especially with male and female or male to female fans, is very prevalent, especially in the comics community. So what have you witnessed in regards to that? And what has been your experience in becoming an ally to combat that? You talked a little bit about that with Geek History Lesson and how you guys have created this really mostly positive fan base. But I know when Ashley was here, too, like she talked about all the vitriol she's had to endure and was the first to say that you've been such a beacon of support to that.
That's something I learned from Star Trek, to be honest with you. In Star Trek, in the future, everybody's the same, everybody's important, and one of the lessons that I love about Star Trek is they'll go meet a pile of goo, and people in that crew will fight for that pile of goo. Like, there'll be certain crew members will be like, we shouldn't, this pile of goo is going to kill us, and then there's always that crew member, Picard or Data, where they're like, no, that pile of goo is a sentient being just like us, so they're equal. And so I think I've always tried to be that way, and when you boil it down to its essence, I always think about, it's always about being kind. It doesn't matter like your race or your sexuality or your gender. Don't we all want to be kind to each other? Like, and if we're kind to each other, then it all works out and all equals out if we're just nice. And so that's the way I try to always see it, is like, if that's not nice to that person, that's not nice, because we should all be, we all want to be nice. And the golden rule of a religion that I don't even follow is the idea that, you know, do unto others as you would do to yourself. And I think that's very true. And I think that, so that's what I've always tried to remember. And so I've brought that into stuff that we do, especially stuff that we write, that I always try to make sure that there isn't tokenism, or make sure that if we're going to use this character and we're going to use this character a certain way, that they need to be an important character. They don't need to be just a, you know, a one-off or a throw-off or stuff like that. Although I will say, it's very funny. I did a free comic book day very recently, and we had some Jupiter Jets and some issues on my table, and Ashley was not there with me. And the last couple of comics we've done have a very pro-female bent, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I noticed that was not the reading material for a five-year-old little boys. Like, they would just walk by my desk, all little girls. And so, like, I said to Ashley, and again, this is more a business move than anything else, but I said to Ashley, we need a boy comic. I was like, we're only serving this audience over here. We need to serve all audiences. I was like, oh, okay.
That's a really interesting point, too. I think when you're that young, what do you identify with? And I think it's still like getting those lessons at the same time, like being kind to everyone and stuff like that. So what else can people do to really make fandom and fan spaces a more welcoming and inclusive place?
I think a big part of it is to read or watch stuff that, even though you think it would make you uncomfortable, a lot of it is getting outside of your own box. And I'm predisposed to get outside of my own box anyways, because again, when I was in junior high, I was reading the weirdest and craziest science fiction I could get because I thought Earth was boring. So I'm very predisposed to like open, and again, I'm going to equate it back to the goop monster. I read stories where people defended goop monsters. And to me, if a character can defend a goop monster, then I can defend a woman or read a story about a homosexual person, all kinds of stuff like that. I will fully admit that when I first heard about Moonlight, the movie Moonlight, I was like, I don't know if that movie's for me. And I went and saw it on a friend's recommendation, and I walked out of that movie being like, that movie was amazing. That movie was so transcendent and well acted and well written, and I'm glad I saw it. But see, if I'd gone off of my first instinct, I wouldn't have saw Moonlight. I probably would have saw it after it won all the awards, and I've been like, I got to see what this is about. But I saw it before all that. So that's why I would say that to make fandom better, try something outside of your comfort zone. Like, I don't know if there's a comic like this out there, but, you know, if you see a comic that is about, let's say, you know, somebody from like a character that would be represented on like RuPaul's Drag Race or something like that. Say like one of those characters one of those queens had a comic. Maybe give it a read, because it might actually appeal to you and it might be a good story.
So speaking of comics, we have learned so much about comics from your podcast, Geek History Lesson.
I'm sorry, and also thank you.
When Ashley was on, we talked a lot about Marvel. So we want to pick your brain on DC just a little bit.
Yeah.
If someone only knows the mainstream DC movies and TV shows, what are some good places to start with comics if they want to expand their DC knowledge?
That is the hardest question that we get. We always get the question of, where do I start in comics? That's like asking somebody, where do I start in movies? It's impossible. I can't answer. And it's a different answer for every person.
That's true.
If you were talking about DC, my first question would be like, who do you like? Because you usually respond to either a grouping or a character in that universe. So I can give you some pretty safe choices, but they're all gonna depend on what you like. If you're Batman, if you're like, I'm a Batman guy, I like Batman, one of the best places to start is Batman Hush. It's a storyline that came out in the mid-2000s, Jim Lee, Jeff Loeb. It's a 12-issue mystery series, but every Batman villain appears in it. I like to call it, it's sort of the Michael Bay of Batman. It's not going to knock your socks off, but it's a standard Batman adventure story, and you're going to see the Joker, you're going to see Catwoman. If you like a Batman villain, they're in that story. So it's a pretty fun, safe choice, and Jim Lee's artwork's amazing. If you like Superman, I would go for Superman Birthright, which is a Mark Waid story. It's one of his origins. It's a little bit different. It's the origin that I'm blown away they've never filmed.
Really?
It's so cinematic. Wow. And it's really good. And does a good job of explaining the Clark Kent secret identity-ness of it. If you're looking, if you're like, oh, I want Justice League. I like it when they all team up. Then I would go for JLA. It's a series called JLA. It's by Grant Morrison and drawn by Howard Porter, who's one of the best comic artists of all time. And it is basically the big grouping of the Justice League fighting an alien invasion. And it is so good, and it'll knock your socks off. And Wonder Woman's a tough character to recommend, but there's a great book called Wonder Woman Earth One. It's written by Grant Morrison. It's sort of a retelling as well of her origin in that Steve Trevor is an African-American.
Oh.
And it brings it up into modern time. So it's the idea of as if a modern F-16 pilot crashed into Themyscira is where they update it. But it's a great storyline. Just to sell you a little bit on this one, and I don't mean this as any crass, but I think it's a brilliant moment of writing. When Diana finds Steve, he's unconscious. The first thing she does is grab his crotch. And she goes, oh my, you're a man. Which I was like, yeah, I think she would do that.
Well, it's basically like, because she doesn't know any better. It's like, yep. Out of the mouths of the babe.
How else would you know?
Exactly. But I thought that was a very innocent yet very like smart piece of writing. So there are some ideas. I always say the Google is amazing. And if you type in like, what are the 10 best Batman stories, 10 best Superman stories, always go through those lists and see what intrigues you. But you know, any of those ones that I told you would probably be safe, really fun choices for the DC universe.
Well, thank you. Those are awesome. I want to check out that Wonder Woman comic. I'm sold.
Yeah.
Not just from the crotch graphic.
But. There's another great moment is when Wonder Woman goes to a hospital and she sees an older woman dying of cancer. The woman doesn't have her hair and she, you know, but and Wonder Woman, Diana goes like, what's wrong with her? I don't get this, because from her island, everybody's immortal.
Right.
So she's never seen an older woman, and it breaks her heart because she goes into a cancer ward.
Oh my goodness.
And she sees these women that are dying. And so like, again, like another like, oh wow. Like, no, she would act like that because she's never seen a dying woman, a woman that's dying from old age.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so interesting. That's so cool.
It's gotta be moving.
Now we should talk about your comic.
Oh, sure.
We should get into Signs. You've given us all these great recommendations. And now I think we should talk about Signs because we're so excited to read it. We read Jupiter Jet and we loved it. So we're excited to to talk more about this new title.
Science is about a 14-year-old girl named Tamsin who is attending the Prometheus Institute, which is the most advanced science school in the world. It's very exclusive, but she is not there to have fun and be with kids. She is there to destroy it from the inside because her father died when she was a small child, but she has this really cool pair of holographic glasses, and a holographic version of her father exists in these glasses and has been telling her for the last decade, the headmaster of the Prometheus Institute murdered me, because he used to be the headmaster of this school. So she's there to destroy the school from the inside. But the problem is that she's there with a goal, but when she gets there, everybody's cool. The headmaster's cool. the guy that she's, you know, supposed to like take down. And then she gets a crush on another fellow girl or her roommate named Garen. So she doesn't quite know who to trust. Does she trust her new friends? Does she trust her dad that she's known for the last 10 years, her dead dad? And at the end of the day, she finds out that the only thing for sure that she knows she can trust is empirical science, which is why we called it that.
How appropriate. So it sounds super interesting, and I'm really excited. And, you know, your last story, as you mentioned, featured a female protagonist. You talked earlier about getting out of your comfort zone to try new things in fandom and to help making it inclusive. So can you talk a little bit about how, I guess, you're doing that from a writing standpoint? How do you approach that when creating science?
The origin of Tamsin is because we have a very good Indian American friend of ours. And I remember as we were developing science, he said the statement to us where he was like, I look at DC Comics and I see nobody there that's me. And we also, of course, made the character female as well to kind of hit on Jupiter Jett again, because we found that a lot of little girls, a lot of women really responded positively to Jackie in that story. So we wanted to do that again. And I've already revealed that our next project is going to be to represent a little boy, because we've really realized like, oh, we haven't done that yet. But our friend said that. And so that's the reason why we decided to put ourselves out of our comfort zone. And actually, in the terms of writing it, we are reaching out to him and being like, tell us some stuff from your childhood. Or is there anything that like makes this type of character unique that we don't know that like we could also reveal to our readers? Because like, you learn from reading stuff more than you realize. You really do. Like, I can't remember a specific example, but like when you find out about a character being like, da 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 da, and oh, I also do this, and we celebrate this, you learn those little things in stories. And that's kind of what we wanted to do with Tamsin, is that we wanted to reveal a little bit of the, you know, relationship between an Indian American father and an Indian American girl, like a little bit of that. When he said that to us, we've even thought ourselves, we like, oh, that story, I don't know of that story. And so why not write it?
That's awesome.
No, that's great.
We loved hearing about how you drew inspiration from your real life and your real friends. Were there any comics that you drew inspiration from when creating science?
Oh, science is a big Fantastic Four riff. It really is, because the origin of the project really came about of, I think I once said to Ashley, the project, I was like, how, I want to write Fantastic Four, because Fantastic Four is my favorite Marvel characters. How do we write the Fantastic Four? How can we write something like the Fantastic Four? And then that was the genesis of the project. And I think Ashley's immediate response to that, it was the opposite of Jupiter Jett, was, why not a science school? And I was like, oh, cool. Let's do it. I love the Jack Kirby, Stan Lee first 100 issues of Fantastic Four. And I love them. And I think they're one of the greatest comic book runs of all time, because they're always about going into new dimensions and new concepts and new things and everything like that. And as I've already revealed in this podcast, again, I was a science fiction fiend. So you could see how that would appeal to me like a lot when I was a little kid. It's a lot of Fantastic Four. It really is. And I've actually been going back and rereading Fantastic Four as we're finishing up the story right now. And so like every night I've been going back and rereading Fantastic Four to sort of put my brain and that mindset of characters that are just like, characters will just say the thing of the dimension thing that you've never heard of before, and how do you like get in that mind mode? But it's a lot of Fantastic Four, and we have a robot in there called Stat. There are hundreds of these that roam the Prometheus Institute halls, and it's a scientific and technical assistant teacher. It's an anagram for Stat, and they're all numbered. So there's like Stat 61, Stat 64, and you, if you go in the preview pages on our Kickstarter, you can see there's a sequence where the headmaster and Tamsin walk through the school, and at several places they walk past Stats, and the Stats are like, hello, headmaster. That's how I like to imagine them sounding.
Nice.
But Stat is a direct homage to Herbie, which is Reed Richards' flying helper robot.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I also love Stat. When I listen to Geek History Lesson and you guys made the announcement about science and you revealed what stats are and what they stand for, I just remember being like, brilliant.
We worked on that for a while. I remember I was like, it has to be like a really cute yet cool anagram that sounds neat. I think we somehow got to the idea where it's like, it needs to be like a medical drama, you know, where they say like Stat, and then I was like, oh, how can we anagram that?
Let's reverse engineer.
That's perfect. What have you learned in transitioning from a comic book fan to now a comic book writer? Do you have any tips or advice for other people who want to create independent comics?
I mean, the biggest piece of advice is just do it. I wish I'd done it sooner, to be honest with you. I find now when I talk to people that are aspiring writers or want to be writers or whatever, that they always are looking for the magic key. And I think that's in all professions. I've counted that in acting, I've counted in filmmaking. And I remember for years I would listen to interviews with writers talking about how they got their agents, how they got their start, and they wouldn't ever give you the full details, and you'd always be like, if he'd only give me the full details, then I'd know.
Yeah.
I know how to get in. Well, it's because I was looking for the magic key too. And now everybody wants you to give them the magic key. And the sad part of it is that the magic key is do it. That's it. You want to write a comic book? Write it. Nobody is stopping you. My other big tip about it is go back to comics you love, reread them, and reverse engineer them. Because there's something in that comic book or that movie or that television show that really responds to you, and you should watch it over and over and over again, or read it over and over again, until you figure out what that is, because you need to put that into your work. Because if you respond to it and you put it in your work, somebody else will too.
That's awesome advice.
Yeah. Jupiter Jett, it was my goal to make it fun. Mm-hmm. I was like, we have to make it fun. At every point, it has to be fun. I was like, even if they think the story is stupid and they hate the characters, I never wanted somebody to finish an issue of Jupiter Jett and be like, well, that was boring. That's the feeling that we baked into Jupiter Jett. I was always like, it's got to be fun. It's got to be fun. It's got to be fun.
And you guys nailed it because it was super fun.
I hope so.
Like, what's not
I hope so. Yeah.
Fun about flying on a jetpack around like a cool steampunk city?
It's what I want to do.
So now it's time in the podcast where we transition and ask you a different sort of question.
All right, I'm into this.
Still hard-hitting questions.
They're almost maybe even harder because it's our fandom Would You Rather game.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. Would you rather have the best cosplay at a convention, but you have to wear it every single day of your life? Or would you rather have a damning wardrobe malfunction, but you can return to street clothes?
The damning malfunction, return to street clothes. I don't want to wear my cosplay costume for a year. No way.
No, it's every day for the rest of your life.
No, God, no. No, I enjoy very soft t-shirts. Soft t-shirts have become my new thing. I've become so spoiled on these soft t-shirts now that if I wear a normal t-shirt, I'm just like, this sucks. So yeah, I got to go back to soft t-shirts.
Or we'll write you a character when Kristen and I make our comic who only wears soft t-shirts.
Please do.
And then you can cosplay
You can have that. Yeah, you can have. But see, you put that in your story and people would be like, I know that. I feel the same way.
I respond to that. That's awesome. Would you rather be a henchman for Loki or for Magneto?
Ooh, Magneto doesn't really have henchmen though. He has believers. Too. Magneto, because Loki will kill you. Loki will kill you. Magneto only kills you if you betray him. He's had people that have been with him and that have really screwed him over, and then years later he's worked with them again. But Loki's a trickster god, and I think he's kind of like the Joker. He's going to kill you just randomly. Whereas Magneto is going to have a reason for killing you. And so just don't betray Magneto. It's cool. Don't put on his helmet and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Loki could be having a bad day and that could be your end.
Yeah, Loki, like, yeah.
He could be having a good day and he'd probably still kill you.
Yeah, Loki sees you're wearing like a blue shirt and he's like, that reminds me of Thor, zap.
Would you rather be on a team of superheroes where you were the only one with powers or where everyone has powers except for you?
Oh, so that's interesting. So do I want to be Batman or do I want to be Superman? Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want powers. Of course I want powers. Now, if you had labeled the question, do you want to be on a superpower team? You're the one that doesn't have powers and you're rich. Then the answer might be yes.
Okay.
But you didn't say I could be a poor person on the super team. I could be D-Man. Go Google it. Go Google D-Man.
Okay.
You'll know who he's the poor person with no powers in the Avengers. So I want superpowers. The rest of the people can be nobodies.
I want to be D-Girl. That's who I am. And the new Avengers movie. Because I'm poor and I have no powers. I finally found who I'm meant to be. I'm crying. Sorry.
His costume is a knockoff of Wolverine's.
This is who I am.
He wears a jacket over it and he has a giant D on his chest. It's a real character. I'm not joking.
I'm crying.
If he's not part of the MCU, like, next year, like, what is even the point?
A friend of mine recently on a podcast, we actually came up with the idea that there could be this Avengers title. It's called Avengers Sewer Patrol, and it stars D-Man, because D-Man, if you don't, is also a homeless person. I hate to say it. Yeah. Okay. That the Avengers apparently took pity on. What, I don't know. Jarvis gives him sandwiches every once in a while. And we said that if you write Avengers Sewer Patrol, it's 22 splash pages of just D-Man standing in the sewer getting sadder and sadder and sadder as you flip through the pages.
Being homeless is not funny.
But no, it's not. I don't mean to say it is.
Yeah, but, I know, but yeah. I was like, because I'm losing it over here. I'm cracking up. Oh my God, I'm so happy we asked this question. I've learned so much, and it's not even geek history lesson.
Perfect. Would you rather have a chance encounter with your celebrity crush where they see you in an embarrassing moment, or where you see them in an embarrassing moment?
I think I'd rather see them in an embarrassing moment because it'd be a good story. Also, I don't know who my celebrity crush would be.
I was
about
to ask that.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, you know, I have recently, I did a video on our channel recently where we were talking about the Henry Cavill Superman situation. Mm-hmm. And I've made the joke, and I've said this for years, that if Henry Cavill came up to me and said, marry me, I would say yes because he's a goddamn beautiful man.
Oh my God, same.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't care. You know, and I'm secure enough in my masculinity. Yes. To admit that, like, if I want to be his golden housewife, then sure, Henry, let's go. So I think I'd rather see somebody in an embarrassing situation because, like, it'd be a good bar story.
Gotcha. Speaking of Henry Cavill and Superman, would you rather live on Krypton or Asgard before they perish?
Oh, man, that is an interesting... That's a tough question because they're both very similar. Asgard is very technologically advanced. You're going to know disease, no war. But every once in a while, you're going to have to go out and fight a dragon or something.
Yeah, I feel like Asgard has some war.
Yeah, like you're going to have to be like... it's Viking mentality. Right. So you will have to go out to a war where you could possibly die. And you are expected to fight in that war. Or like elves could show up and kill you.
Yeah.
Krypton is the same thing. Perfect health, perfect technology, but everybody is a judgmental dick and you can't really think outside the box.
Right.
Oh man. See, so like Asgard is the physical thing you don't want to do. Krypton is the mental thing you don't want to do. This is rough.
I love your like way into the question too, because we never thought of that.
Yeah. Man, I don't, this is your toughest question.
Ooh.
It really is. I guess I would go Asgard.
Okay.
Simply for the fact of at least the Asgardians have fun. On Krypton, people have fun, but you get the idea that they're sticks in the mud. Asgard would have cool parties, so that's why I'm going to go Asgard.
I love it. Yeah. I was like, Asgard, because of the dresses and the monarchy and Loki's there.
But in Krypton, your dresses glow. They glow like the sun.
Well, now you're really...
So. Although, if you do have to fight in the war on Asgard and you do get killed, at least you get a Viking funeral. So
that's true. That's true. And you have the idea that you're going to Valhalla, so you might live forever. The Kryptonians, their afterlife is Rao the sun, so you're just going to burn on a sun forever.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now I'm back to Team Asgard.
Yeah, back to Asgard.
Now that everyone is so pumped about science, the graphic novel. Maybe they're pumped about science in general, but specifically
so.
The graphic novel. You guys have a Kickstarter, and at the time of this recording, because you guys are so amazing, you have already met your goal.
Yeah.
And now there's all these awesome stretch goals that people can pledge for. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Kickstarter and how we can support the comic book?
You are correct. The Kickstarter funded. It funded in 24 hours, which was amazing. Blew our minds. Ow. So right now, if you donate, it's basically become a pre-order. You're going to get the book. You know, with Kickstarter, sometimes you don't know if you're going to get the thing. Well, you're going to get the book now. So if you're on the fence about that, like this is the perfect time, you're basically just pre-ordering a signed copy of the book from us. So we've added some stretch rewards. The coolest one is if we hit 20K, which I can't believe we're even close to 20K, we are going to do Prometheus Institute student ID cards. Everybody gets a student ID card. So like you can say that you're a member of the Prometheus Institute, and I guarantee you will probably have a stat on it. Somehow. I have the idea that like on the front will have the logo and Prometheus Institute student number whenever 65552. And then on the backside, I might have stat giving you the rules like don't run on the grass, stay out of the neutron star ranch hole. I don't know. I don't just, you know, we haven't made it yet. So that's why I'm just going off the top of my head. So that's a good one. And then one of our most popular reward is script reviews because we like to give back to people like talk about. So we had a script review from Tom King, the guy who writes Batman. We have a script review from Cullen Bunn, the guy who writes X-Men Blue, and Shea Fontana who wrote DC Superhero Girls, and I finally put one on there. So if you like any of my thoughts here or how I debated Asgard and Krypton, if you want me to look at your script, can be a TV script, a comic book script, any kind of script, you can go there, donate, you'll get a copy of the book, and not only I'll give you critique, give you notes. And I know if we get past 20K, not only will everybody that gets a physical copy of the book get the ID card, we're going to add another script review. And I haven't revealed this anywhere else, but so there you go. This is your exclusive. Ooh. Eric Burnham, the gentleman who writes Ghostbusters, is going to do some script reviews for us. So
I love Eric Burnham. Yeah, guys, that's huge. Eric's a cool cat.
Yeah.
Chris and I were lucky enough to meet him and hang out with him a little bit at Comic-Con.
He's a great writer. So like you could pick his brain about Ghostbusters comic books.
That's fantastic. I'm so excited. So where can we follow you and Geek History Lashlin and everything else on social media?
I guess first off, I don't think I've said it. The Kickstarter is at sciencecomicbook.com.
Yes, thank you.
That's it. I don't think I've said that yet.
That would help, yes.
Sciencecomicbook.com, or you can be boring and just go to Kickstarter and search science. It'll happen that way too. You can find me everywhere online at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. It's the first two letters of all three of my names. YouTube.com/Jawin, Twitter.com/Jawin, Instagram.com/Jawin. And then our podcast is Geek History Lesson. It comes out weekly, except we're taking a 2-week break here very soon. Writing Kickstarter is hard, guys. We need some time. That's our podcast. We have no intention of stopping it anytime soon. Find it on iTunes and everywhere.
And yeah, and the awesome thing too about Geek History Lesson, if you're new to comics, is they have over 225 episodes.
Yeah.
So
and they're evergreen.
Yeah.
They're all evergreen. So you can go all the way back. And that's, we purposely did that. So like there's a very early episode we did on Daredevil. And I don't know how we got into this joke, but I don't even remember the joke because the joke was so long ago. And in the episode, somehow it came up with the hashtag bear without fear. Hashtag bear without fear. Literally yesterday, we got a tweet being like, haha, I just heard the episode. Hashtag bear without fear. And we were both like, this is the joke that never stops. And I don't even remember, it was like 4 years ago. I don't remember what the original joke was.
I love it. Oh my gosh, Jason, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
And telling us about science, but more importantly, telling me about
D-Man.
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 And bringing me to tears, and I have to go work on my D-Man cosplay.
So. Oh man, just a Wolverine suit, draw a D on the front. That's all it is.
We'll have all these links to Jason and where to find science on our website, yourbiggestfangirl.com. Of course, they're in the show notes, and we'll be sharing everything on our social media, YBFG Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And of course, we're on Tumblr too, because of course we are. That's yourbiggestfangirl.tumblr.com.
And if you guys laughed as hard as I did at this episode and learned something new like I did, please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast.
Thank you again, Jason.
No, thanks for having me. This is a lot of fun.
Our theme song is California Lullaby Instrumental by Josh Woodward, used under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.